for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, June 28, 1987. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gene Moody and Glenn Miller are the speakers of the morning.
Well, all I can say is Satan doesn't want to hear what Glenn and I are going to say this morning, apparently. He's trying to give us a few problems here, but we're not going to let that stand in our way, are we? This morning is living the whole Christian life. I want you to listen carefully. This is what God has given me. I've written it down. I want to try to give it to you the way that the Lord gave it to me. So I'm going to give you a preference, and then the rest of it I'm going to read and give Glenn plenty of time to amplify what I'm talking about here. It bothers me for preachers to give a sermon and then say that that's the answer. And then they'll turn around the next week and they'll give another sermon and say, this is the answer to all your problems. There is no one answer to all of your problems. This lesson is what God has shown Earlene and I about how to live the Christian life. It's an overview. Now, you got to realize, I'm an engineer by profession, and I like to see things in overview. I'm also a man. Okay, men look at the whole forest. The women look at the trees. I like to see things from the whole picture. Now, I can tell you before we get started here, Earlene and I are not completely living this life that I'm going to present to you. But we're getting better and better at it as time goes by. Now, I don't want to bring in the condemnation. So often I hear people tell others as they minister to them, tomorrow you're supposed to be perfect. Tomorrow your marriage is going to be restored. Tomorrow your family is going to be restored. Tomorrow you won't have any sin in your life and so forth. And that's ridiculous. It takes time for these things to come about. In fact, when we minister to people, frequently we'll tell them, give yourself a year and see what happens in a year. Because if I tell the people to go out and, you know, tomorrow you're going to be perfect and you'll live a perfect life, they won't. You see, you'll sin and fall short of the glory of God. You'll come into condemnation. You may even quit the Christian life. So don't tell people then. Now, God is a God of restoration, and He's in a process of restoring our lives. And as far as I'm concerned, the process of restoration takes your whole life. You're going to be restored for your whole life. Now, I believe that if you are completely restored, you'd be another Adam and Eve. I believe that we'd have the same powers that Adam and Eve had if we were 100% restored. And I believe that we'd be able to do anything that God told us to do. Now, our goal is to be more like Jesus Christ. Now, are you ever going to be another Jesus Christ? No, there's only one. Okay, but there's no reason why He shouldn't be our goal and why we can't become more like Him day by day, moment by moment. Now, first I'm going to talk to you about the general. And I'm just going to read this because I've got a lot to cover and I want to give Glenn plenty of time. To live the whole Christian life means to obey the whole Bible. It means that every aspect of our lives must be lined up with the precepts of the Bible. This includes the mental, physical, spiritual, and material parts of our lives. The Bible tells us how to live in every area of our lives. God is not out of date. He didn't forget anything in the Bible for our modern age. You believe God's out of date? He left something out of the Bible? He doesn't understand modern life? No, not hardly. Now the mental part of our life. We must discipline our mind, will, and emotions. We learn to control our thinking the same way we control our physical body. The physical is told what to do, so the brain is also told what to think by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads our spirit, which leads our soul, which leads our body. The passive mind is an empty vessel inviting demons to have their way.
Amen.
Praise God. The passive mind is an empty vessel inviting demons to have their way. Now, this is the lesson that Earlene has to teach. So when she gets her opportunity to teach and deliver, she's going to teach about the passive mind, and we're going to cast out demons. The physical area. We must take care of our physical body. We should not abuse it by food, drink, drugs, and so forth that we put into the body. We should not sin against the body by committing sexual sin. Do you know that's the only sin that you sin against your body? The body needs some physical exercise, but not before spiritual exercise. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and should be a place where the Holy Spirit would want to live. Think about your actions. Do you think the Holy Spirit wants to live in you, considering some of your actions? He's probably ashamed of them. Well, try to have a temple of the Holy Spirit where God would want to live within you and not be ashamed of you. And you'd not be ashamed of yourself. Now the spiritual. We must feed the spiritual man within us. This requires living the Christian life. That requires reading the Bible, fasting, praying, fellowship with other Christians, and other Christian activities. After salvation, it includes obtaining the baptism in the Holy Spirit, learning about divine healing and divine health, deliverance and casting out demons, and prosperity for all areas of our life. Now the material. We must learn that God is our source who will supply all of our needs. We learn to look to God rather than to ourselves or to man. We learn to have faith and trust in God. We will prosper mentally, physically, spiritually, and even materially. Remember that the love of money is the root of all evil. See, there's actually nothing wrong with money. Money per se, there's nothing wrong. It's the love of money. Does money control your life? That's evil. But there's no reason why we can't prosper in every area of our life. Salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, healing, deliverance, and prosperity. Learn how to lead people to salvation and the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Learn how to pray for healing and how to cast out demons. Learn how to have prosperity in every area of your life. You will prosper as your spirit prospers. King James says you'll prosper as your soul prospers. It really means spirit. Okay, your prosperity is contingent upon how your spirit prospers. All your prosperity, your material prosperity, all your prosperity revolves around it. And remember, prosperity is more than money. Good health is prosperity. Spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit that has a body and a soul. The spirit and soul reside in the body, which is a temporary house. Our spirit and soul will be with us in heaven. The order of importance is spirit first, soul second, and body last. So put your spiritual life first. God, family, and occupation. The order of importance is God first, family second, and occupation last. Most of my life was spent in the reverse order. Occupation first, family second, and God last. If you put God first in your life, He will help you to work out the remainder of your life, family, occupation, and so forth, so that everything will work together for the glory of God and to your benefit. Now, caution. God is not going to do it for you. Quit thinking that. God will help you to do the things for yourself. With His leadership and His help, you can work out these things in your life, but quit looking to God to do it. I hear so much of that and I get sick of it. Shortcuts to the Christian life. There are no excuses in the Bible. There are no shortcuts to the whole Christian life. You must work to live the Christian life. It is not a passive spectator sport of watching others do your work. You must work at being a good mate, a good parent, a good child, and a good Christian all of your life. God does not honor lazy Christians. Amen. Battle against evil. Satan is good at his job of being evil. He works 24 hours a day at destroying you. His demons never rest. You need to be as good at being a Christian as Satan is good at being evil. You will battle evil until you die. Learn to be a good soldier for the Lord. Charismatic witchcraft. You must learn to follow God and not man. Don't fall into the trap of idolizing your leader. You must be free from man so that you can do what God wants in your life. I see so many Christians in bondage. They're in bondage to their preacher, their denomination, their wife, their husband, their neighbor. They're so afraid of what man thinks they can't do anything for God. They're all tied up with what? Other people control you. Let Jesus Christ lead you, and don't be controlled by other people. Promises in the Bible. There are many promises to Christians in the Bible. However, for every promise, there is a condition. You will not receive the promise if you do not fulfill the condition. We want to live a haphazard, sinful Christian life and yet receive all of the blessings from God. It won't work. God is not mocked. I meant to do something before I came up here, but I didn't have time. I was going to research and find out how many times in the Bible there's that little word if or but. If you do so-and-so, you will receive so-and-so. Well, I can tell you the corollary of that. If you don't do so-and-so, you won't receive so-and-so. Blessings and curses. There is a blessing for every verse in the Bible that you obey. There is a curse for every verse in the Bible that you disobey. If you obey half of the Bible, you're half blessed and half cursed. Decide to follow the whole Bible, not just a selected part of it. Now, what God told me when I first came in the full gospel movement, I hadn't gone to Bible school or the seminary, and it really bothered me. So I asked God, well, what am I supposed to do, Lord? I don't have all this theological training or Christian pedigree. So God told me, well, just take the Bible in simple childlike faith. Put it to practice and watch it work. You don't have to have a PhD. All you got to do is read the Bible. And he didn't make the Bible where only preachers can understand it. Sin in your life. If you have sin in your life, you have opened the door for Satan and his demons to attack you, your family, and your church. Sin is a crack in your armor, whether known or unknown to you. You or your ancestors have invited Satan to come into your life and work havoc. Demons and curses in your life. You must systematically work at ridding yourself of curses and demons. It is much easier to live without your demons than with your demons. Right? It is easier to live with the demons on the outside than on the inside of the body. Christians have many curses and demons and must work over an extended period of time to rid themselves of these. What the church needs more than anything else is deliverance. I want to emphasize that even though that people call Early and I deliverance ministers, and that is our ministry, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that what the church needs is deliverance. I mean, it's abundantly clear to me after 12 intensive years in this ministry. They will never win the battle with Satan without deliverance. Okay, visualize yourself without deliverance. How would you like to go around without one leg or without one arm or without both feet? Well, this is about the way it is in the Christian world for the Christian who does not have deliverance. He is an incomplete, or she is an incomplete person. And they're struggling. And many Christians, they can't live without deliverance. They go back out in the world. We need to cast out demons as a natural part of our Christian life. There's nothing strange about casting out demons. You think it's strange to pray somebody for baptism or salvation or healing? No, it's no more strange to cast out demons than any other area of our life. It's just the way people have talked about it, especially preachers. Satan's master plan to destroy the human race. Satan first wants you to get rejected, then he causes you to become bitter by having unforgiveness. Finally, he leads you into rebellion. You are then programmed to go into many other demonic activities, such as sexual sin, to gain love that you didn't receive as a child. I see that over and over again. I saw that this morning. I'll see that again in this camp before I leave. It's a pattern. It's a pattern that Satan has. Satan is good. He's devised some very master, devious, mischievous plans to destroy the human race. And he's had thousands of years to perfect these. Rejection, root of bitterness, rebellion, and unforgiveness. These three families, the three R's of demons, are the root causes of most of our problems as Christians. We must work to cleanse our lives of all rejection, bitterness, and rebellion, so that we're not controlled in any way by these emotions and reactions. Unforgiveness is very detrimental to our lives. We must forgive everyone who has done anything to us, actual or imagined. Hate, vengeance, envy, and strife have no part in our lives. Now, this is what God taught Earlene and I. Oh, it's now been, I guess, 12, 13 years ago. We had deliverance in the middle of the night in the middle of our bed. And that was after Early and I had 2 years of hell on earth with each other, and our daughter was rebellious and antagonized towards us, and our family was just about to explode and go into divorce. God personally taught us about basic deliverance. You hear me use it over and over again. I can't think of a better teacher than Almighty God. He taught us in the middle of the night, in the middle of her bed, it saved her marriage, it saved her daughter, it saved her family, it saved her ministry, it saved her Christian life. Praise God. Conscious and subconscious mind. You must deal with why you consciously do things that are displeasing to God. You must deal with why you do things subconsciously without active thought on your part. You must check every area of your life that does not glorify Jesus. Further, the kingdom of God, please the Holy Spirit within you, line up with the Bible and make good sense. Your mind will slowly be restored as you follow the Bible and walk out the Christian walk. Deliverance is a process of restoration over a period of time. Cleaning your home and your, well, the Christian life is the same thing. If you walk the Christian life, God will slowly restore you. Deliverance is just part of the Christian life. Cleaning your home and your person. You must clean your home and your person. Look, when I say that, I'm talking about those. If I were to do a search right now, and I would come along and I would search your body, and I would search your pocketbook, and I would search your Bible, I would find demonic objects. That's what I'm talking about, your person. Of cursed objects. If you have cursed objects, you become cursed, and you will have demons living with you. They don't just come to live in your home or on your person. They come to torment you and your family. Mass deliverance, individual deliverance, teaching and counseling. We need mass and individual deliverance to rid ourselves of curses and demons. We need teaching and counseling to learn to discipline our minds and bodies. We need plenty of deliverance and teaching. It should be about one-third of our services. I firmly believe that one-third of our services in the church ought to be deliverance. That's my firm. If Jesus spent about a third of his time on deliverance, what should we do? If he's our pattern, then we ought to spend a third of our time on deliverance. Maintaining deliverance and Christianity. When you receive deliverance, you must fight to maintain it by changing your way of thinking and acting. You maintain your Christianity by continuing to live the Christian life. If you're not going forward with Jesus, you're going backwards with Satan. You must fight to discipline your soul and body. We can't just cast out your demons and you will live happily ever after. Start testifying about your deliverance. It will strengthen you. People come to us and they think, well, if we can just get to Gene and Earlene and they just cast out our demons, we'll live happily ever after. I wish that were true, but that's not true. No, that's just another step forward in your life. It gives you an opportunity to do the things that the Lord wants you to do. Discipline for mind and body. Your mind must be disciplined so that it will think properly in accordance with the Bible. You must learn to act according to God rather than react according to Satan when presented with problems. You must discipline your body by getting proper sleep, exercise, and food. You need sufficient rest for recuperation, physical exercises to keep the body working properly, and the right food to sustain the body. You can sleep too much or too little. Lack of exercise will allow the body to deteriorate. Eat the right food and keep your body trim, not overweight. Learn about the real enemy. You must educate yourself about Satan and his kingdom of evil so that you are not destroyed by ignorance about the wiles of Satan. You need to read the Bible and study to show yourself approved as a workman for God. Find out what the Bible has to say about evil. Don't just study the love of God and his promises to you. That's about the biggest unbalance I can think of. God is just love. No, God ain't just love. He's a God of love and justice. And if you visualize the scales of justice that the lawyers use, I think they're equally balanced. Love is equally balanced with justice. Don't fall into traps of the occult, false religions, and other demonic practices such as certain holidays. Learn to see the forces of evil working in the lives of those people God tells us about in the Bible. That was a real revelation to me when God showed Earlene. I think he probably showed Earlene first. How you can study the families of the Bible and see how the forces of evil work. And Twyla mentioned that in her message last night. Okay, when you read the families in the Bible and you see what God has to say, you can see the pattern of evil then. You can see demons working in their lives. It's a real revelation when you study it from that standpoint. The Bible contains much scripture about deliverance and demonic activity. We have written a deliverance manual to teach people about the enemy, dealing with the reality of life. God is total reality. There is no fantasy or play acting in God. There is no unreality in the Bible. Christians should not deal in any spiritual fantasy. Fantasy is very simply a lie from Satan, who is the father of lies. Don't work up any Christian fantasy. Don't work up any lies. Let the Holy Spirit move within you. Don't force it. Divine healing and divine health. It is wonderful that God will heal our bodies supernaturally by miracles or over a period of time. However, we need to learn to walk in divine health as a normal part of our lives. To walk in divine health requires taking care of your bodies and walking blameless before God. Drunkenness and gluttony are the same in the sight of God. Demonic sex can destroy our bodies as well as take us to hell. Body and mind healed and delivered. You need your body free from diseases and your mind free from demonic emotions. To get free, you must pray that God will heal you and you cast out the demons that control your emotions and diseases in your body. Healing and deliverance go hand in hand. Many times people do not get healed by prayer because they need their demons cast out. Medicine can take them to cure the body is all right if you do not have faith in God to heal you supernaturally. Now, I might comment, I did a study in the Bible on cures, and what it showed me is that the Israelis were very unsophisticated people, that they simply did not know about medicine the way that the Egyptians did, for instance. And they just simply went to God, and God healed them. And I believe that's a pattern that God wants for us. I believe if we really knew and we really walked the Christian life, I think that you could do away with medical doctors. I'm talking about the doctors that heal you. Now, in a minute, I'm going to get into Twala's profession here. But I think that really and truly, if we did the things we're supposed to do, we would not have need for medical doctors. Those are types that would heal your body of some disease. Now, that's my firm belief. Now, I cannot tell you that I totally walk in it. I don't have the ability to totally walk in it. Every now and then I go to the doctors, not too often, and it's less and less. But that's my belief, and that's what the Bible teaches me. Deliverance for mind and body. You must deal with areas of curses, soul ties, occult, false religions, and cursed objects to get free. Curses and soul ties must be broken. Occult and false religious ties must be severed. Cursed objects must be destroyed. Then the demons must be cast down. Finally, you must discipline your life so that the demons will not come back into you. Psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, and mental institutions. Now listen to this one, Twala. I don't think this is any slur on you or anything. There is no need for the whole profession of treating the mind in the Christian world. The heathen have no other source other than this profession. Now, I put that in there so I make it clear. I believe that the Christians don't need this profession. Okay, Twala is needed for those who are not Christians. The heathen need it. They don't have God. They don't have any other way of getting help. So I say Twala is ministering to the heathen. Okay, in the Christian world, she's learned about deliverance. Okay, I'm convinced that with what God has taught Earlene and I, we're far more perfected than any heathen psychiatrist in the world. Praise God. The Bible clearly has made provisions for taking care of the mind without drugs. A Christian can deliver and counsel other Christians far more effectively than any heathen worker in the mental field of medicine. Drugs for the mind is a form of sorcery used to control the demons in the mind. Do not take these medicines. Okay, I don't believe in taking medicines that control your mind. I do believe in taking medicines that control the diseases within your body. But I also believe in going to God first. And most of the time, He's going to heal you. Infirmity, weakness, sickness, and disease. Infirmities from weaknesses to terminal diseases can come through your ancestors. They are transmitted by demons through the bloodline. We call this the sins of the ancestors. Okay, the world calls it inheritance. You inherited, grandmother died of cancer, mother died of cancer, I'm going to die of cancer all at 40 years old. Well, this comes down through the demons. The demons come through the bloodline. Infirmities can come in through your sins. Arthritis and cancer can come in through unforgiveness and bitterness. You must repent and get right with God. Break the curses on you by your ancestors and cast out the demons. Family. Everyone in the family needs deliverance. You need to learn to pray for each other and your children. Don't wait for the pastor to do it or we will never get done. That's right. I guarantee you, don't wait for the pastor. In fact, for that matter, don't wait for Gene and Earlene or Glenn or Irma. See, people are so demonized that all we can do is help you. Like this morning, we worked with a couple for an hour. That's all the time we had to spend with that couple. We did everything we could to help them. But that was just one step. We were not able to do everything that needed. They're going to have to go and discipline their life. And this is the way it is. We'll do everything we can to help as many of you as we can while we're here. But that's not the end of it. You got to go and continue to discipline your life and continue to walk the Christian life. Walk. Okay, you must repent and get right with God, break the curses on you by your ancestors, and cast out the demons. I must have covered that. Okay, let's see what I missed. Okay, the Bible has much scripture about how the godly family should be and the right relationship of the family to God. One of the key areas is to be thankful for what we have and what God is doing in our lives. We must come out of sin and death into holiness and life. Now, you hear a lot preached here about holiness, and I'm in agreement with it. You've got to live a holy life. Otherwise, you're opening yourself up to Satan. It requires a lot of work to be a good homemaker, a good husband, a good wife, or good children. Oh, you got to work at your Christian life. And quit looking to God to do it. Earlene has a cute little saying, God's not going to brush your teeth. Do you know of anybody's teeth that God has come down and brushed? No, God will let your teeth rot in your mouth. So you've got to do the things that God gave you, common sense, intelligence, ability, talents, and so forth. You have to do this. You have to work to live the Christian life. Okay, praise God, Brother Glenn.
Thank you, Gene. Now, we're going to look at some things that you have to do. Okay, kill that other mic. We'll just use this one here. One, two. Okay, give me a little more. Okay, all right. Turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 3. And we're going to see some of the things that I have to do, that you have to do, to serve the Lord and to walk in a place where we will be blessed and have the blessing of the Lord. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So first of all, we have to acknowledge that we're a sinner. That's the first thing that everybody has to do. You have to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you've come short and that we are coming short and are short of the glory of God in our lives. So we have to acknowledge that we've sinned and that we're a sinner and that we need a Savior. That's the first thing that I have to do and that you have to do, that I have to acknowledge that I need a Savior and that Jesus is my Savior and that to Him I come and ask and acknowledge that He's my Lord and Savior. In verse 10 here it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." So every one of us are sinners. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You're a sinner saved by grace if you have accepted the Lord Jesus. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we're striving to become righteous and holy before the Lord. As we serve Him, as we walk before Him, as we apply His Word to our lives, as we search the Word, and as we seek to know the Lord, and as we come to bring offering and praise unto the Lord, we're striving to come to that knowledge of the Lord. In John chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." That's Jesus dying on the tree. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's no choice. It either you do or you don't. You have one choice only. You don't have a multiple choices. You have one choice, Jesus, to believe on the Son of God. There's no other way. And God gave His Son that we might not be condemned if we believe on Him. But if we don't believe on Him, we are condemned. And so we need to come and make Jesus Lord so that we'll not be condemned. And this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Jesus is the light that came. And men love darkness. They don't want, the majority of the world does not want Jesus. They want darkness. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So everyone who comes to the Lord, comes to the light of the Lord Jesus, then our deeds, we want our deeds to be such that they will be honored and received by the Lord and not be condemned because of what our deeds are. But we must believe on the Lord Jesus. That's our first thing that we must do. We must believe on the Lord Jesus. I must make Him my Lord. I must confess my sins. I must apply and appropriate the blood of the cross for my salvation. And then when I do that, then I have other things to move on to after that. Romans chapter 3. We'll go back to the chapter we started with here in Romans 3. And we will read this verse 10 again. There is none righteous, no, not one. So we have to acknowledge that Jesus is our righteousness. And then in verse 24, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. So I must have faith to believe. The Lord says, this word says, that He's given to every man a portion of faith. So there is faith to believe when we come to the Lord that we are saved through the blood of Jesus. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Our sins are behind us. They're with us, but they're behind us. They're things that we have done previous to this moment, and they're past. But the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from those past sins and will give us life new. Through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and that the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So as we believe in Jesus, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And He is our justifier to justify us. He is my high priest. He is my attorney. He is my lawyer. And I come to Jesus and present my needs to Him. And He then, in turn, presents them to the Father. He is my go-between. He is my intercessor. He is the one who stands before the bar of judgment in my behalf. Jesus, as I make Him Lord of my life. Jesus died on the cross for me and for you. He died for me as an individual. He died for you as an individual. He shed His life blood for you and for me, that my sins will be washed away, that they'll be forgiven and be remembered no more. And I must believe this. It's my part of for me to believe that the Lord has done that. And the Lord said that He'll give us faith to believe that. So as I apply and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus and believe on Him, then the Lord gives me faith to believe that that is so and that my life will be changed. Over in Luke chapter 11, now, there's another thing that we're required to do. I'm required and you're required to forgive. That's one of the things that we have to do. I must forgive. You must forgive. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 2 it says, and He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, We're to pray that the kingdom of God comes, become a reality in the earth and in within each one of our lives. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Supply our needs as you take care of the sparrow. And he will, as we put our faith in him. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So the Lord Jesus said that it's required that if he is to forgive us, then we must also forgive others. That is a requirement. If we expect the Lord to forgive us, then we must also forgive others. In Mark chapter 11, Mark 11 and verse 25 says, "And when you stand praying, forgive. And if you have aught against any, that your Father also is, which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." And in Matthew chapter 18, it puts it much stronger in verses 32 and 35 of Matthew 18, 32 to 35. It says, "Then his Lord, after they had called him," now this is the unjust steward who was forgiven much, "said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest of me." And we come to the Lord with our debt, whatever the debt is, whatever our sins are, the Lord is faithful to forgive us if we come and ask. But then he says, "Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant? Even as I have had compassion on you and forgiven you all that debt that you owed me, should not you have compassion on your fellow man?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall your heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So if you don't forgive, you'll get the tormentors. And those tormentors are demons. And the Lord allows them to come. If you don't forgive, he says to turn you over to the tormentors. And you let the tormentors torment you. And those tormentors are the demon spirits that come to torment. Because we're required to forgive just as the Lord forgives us. We're required to forgive others. In Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews 8 and verse 12 says, "I will be merciful unto the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." So the Lord says that he will not remember our unrighteousness and our sins anymore, or our iniquities. He'll not remember them. And the Lord requires that we do not remember the things that others have done against us. We're to forgive them. Psalms 103, let's see what that has to say. Psalms 103 and verse 11. For it says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." And there's another place I believe it says, as far as deep as the sea is, he's buried them in the sea of forgetfulness. And never to be remembered again. And when the Lord does that for us, then he requires that we also forgive and forget in the same manner. And do you forgive and forget in the same way that the Lord has done for you? The Lord requires it of us that we do. If we don't, then we're asking for the tormentors. We'll get the tormentors. And another thing that the Lord requires of us, he requires of us that we praise his name, that we praise the Lord. So let's look at some of the things that's required of us to praise his name. Psalm 67, we find verse 1, we'll read the whole psalm. It said, "God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, and thy saving health among all nations. There's health for us in the Word, in the Lord. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let all the people praise thee, O God, and let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And let us turn over to the seventh psalm. And here let us say with David, and praise the Lord here with David in the seventh psalm. He says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute and deliver me. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. That's Satan coming to destroy us. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that was without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth, and let mine honor be in dust. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, turn thou on high. And in verse 17 it says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing to the name of the Lord Most High. And can we say that with David? That I will to praise the Lord. In Psalms 9, it says, David says here, he says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou Most High. So we are required with David to sing praises unto the Lord. We are required to praise the Lord. I will to praise the Lord. I will to bless the Lord. Psalms 34, David again says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast known in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And that's what we've been doing this morning. We've been exalting and magnifying and praising the name of the Lord together. We've been uplifting and declaring that Jesus is Lord as we've been praising and blessing the Lord this morning. David says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So if we have fear, as we praise and bless and magnify the Lord, he'll deliver us from our fears. There's the answer for your fear. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and you'll be delivered from your fears. Psalms 50, again, we find praise unto the Lord. Psalms 50 and verse 22 says, Now consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. To those that forget God, consider that the Lord says he'll allow something that can come and tear you in pieces because you do not consider the Lord. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So we need to watch our conversation. We need to guard the words of our mouth. We need to guard them that they do not slander anybody, that they do not speak evil of anybody, that they're not, our words are not talebearers. Our words are our words that praise and bring glory to the Lord. That the words of our mouth offereth praise unto the Lord in all things that we say and do, that we show our conversation aright. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Not once in a while, not just here this morning, but continually offer and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord while you drive. Praise the Lord while you work. Praise the Lord in all that you do. Offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And Jesus is his name. Hallelujah. And we bring our praise and our offering of thanksgiving unto him, that Jesus will be glorified and magnified in all that we do, in everything that we do. In Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, in verse 25, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed." Now, Paul and Silas were in jail, put in jail for their testimony and declaration of Jesus Christ. And they were in jail. And then this is at midnight, when most of us would think we should have been sleeping. And here, at midnight, they're in jail. And it says, "And they sang praises unto God." Now, it's bad enough to be in jail, but to be in jail and at midnight to sing praises unto God, when they surely were tired. But what else was wrong with them besides being in jail? We find down here in the last of verse 26, "And everyone's bands were loosed." So they not only were in jail, but they were bound. And they were singing praises unto the Lord. And when they were singing, they sang not only to themselves and unto the Lord, but they sang loud enough that everybody in the jail heard them. It says, "And the prisoners heard them, and God heard them also." Because what happened? It says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and all their bands were broken." They were loosed from their bands. So, when we're in trouble, it's time to praise. When we're not in trouble, it's time to praise. So when we're in trouble and we praise, the Lord will hear our praise and will answer our petitions. Now, they weren't asking to be loosed from prison, but they praised and blessed the Lord, and the Lord loosed them from prison. So sometimes you get an extra blessing for praising. They got an extra blessing. They got out of prison. And not only did they get out of prison, but the keeper of the prison got saved, and all his family as well. Well, let's go back to Psalms. Back to Psalms 34. Here in Psalms 34, we'll read again. And David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continue in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." The beginning of the fear of the Lord in our hearts and lives is that which will teach us righteousness. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord says you're not going to not have afflictions, but he says he'll save us out of the middle of them as we cry and praise his name. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Now, that's a insert in there that we know applies to the Lord Jesus when he was crucified. Just stuck in there that none of his bones would be broken. But we can apply it to our life as well. Evil shall slay the wicked, but they that hate righteousness shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So the Lord will preserve us as we put our trust and our faith in him, and as we praise and worship with David of old, I will to praise the Lord. I will to magnify the Lord. I do it because I determine I will do it. And you have to determine to do likewise. You will to praise the Lord. It's not something that's always easy to do. It's not something that's always that you want to do. It's not something always maybe that you feel is appropriate to do. But the Scripture says, I will praise the Lord at all times. And then as we do, then the Lord, his blessing will be with us, and his wisdom will come to us, and discernment will come to us, and we'll have understanding and knowledge for the situation that arises. Then there's another thing that we're required to do. And Gene mentioned that this morning also. We are required to be holy. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 2 says, you shall fear... verse 2, not 3. But that's good too. You shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths, for I am the Lord your God. But verse 2 says, speak unto... And now, some people say these are Moses' laws. No, they're not Moses' laws. Because you notice what verse 1 says. Moses was God's mouthpiece. They're not his laws. Moses just was the carrier, the speaker of them. And the Lord, they're God's laws. And here it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. The Lord spoke it. And he spoke to Moses to say, you, Moses, you say it. So it's not Moses' law. Moses is just saying what God says is his law. And he says, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. He doesn't say, try to be holy. He said, you shall be holy, because I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. And verse 15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And now I'm going to reread the verse, part of the verse that I just read in Leviticus. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So if you want to separate out and say there's an Old and New Testament, which I don't believe, to me, there is one book why I picked up and I've reread exactly the same thing from what, if you want to call it the Old Testament. But to me, it is the book. And he says, be holy, for I am holy. And in Revelations chapter 22, it says in verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So evidently, there's a time coming when it'll be too late to decide to do something about it. The time is now to do something about these things. For here it says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. So he'll still, there'll be no place for him to change. And for like the leper to change his spots to wash him off. It'll be too late. And he that's filthy, he'll still be filthy. Be unable to change and do anything about it. So I'm making my decision, and I have made my decision. I desire to praise the Lord. I desire to walk before the Lord, to praise Him, to magnify the Lord. I desire to make Jesus Lord of my life. I desire that to appropriate and apply the blood of the cross for my sins. I desire to praise the Lord and to forgive and to forget, so that I can walk before the Lord in holiness and righteousness, so that I can be one that will be accepted in the Beloved. And so I desire to make my decision now, that I may walk before the Lord in holiness and righteousness, and accept the Lord Jesus and that which He has offered for me, and to forgive all, and to have nothing against any man, and to live a holy and righteous life. For the Lord is seeking and searching for those today who will walk that way before Him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Scripture, all through the Scripture, the Lord tells us that He's seeking and searching, that there will be a remnant, but He's seeking and searching for all who will come, that none should be lost. But here in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, in verse 9, it says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're called to be a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of God who hath called me and you out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we may walk in the light of the Lord Jesus, acknowledging and making Him Lord of our lives, that we may live a holy and righteous life, that we may be examples before men of Jesus, that we may apply and appropriate the blood of the cross and make it and bend our knee and acknowledge and make Jesus Lord of my life today, that I may be one who be accepted in the Beloved, that Jesus may say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, come and enter in to thy rest." And this morning, if there be any here who have any aught in their heart, who have not accepted and made Jesus Lord, we ask you to come today and make Jesus Lord of your life. And I'm going to ask Sister Fox to come and close this service this morning in however the Lord leads, to sing, if she feels to sing, if she feels to pray, if she feels to prophesy, whatever, that the Spirit of the Lord will move in our hearts and lives, that we will be knit together as one body, magnifying and praising and glorifying Jesus, making Him the Lord of my life and the Lord of your life, that we may be a praise and example and a glory unto Him, that Jesus will be Lord and life. Twyla? Will be Lord and life of every area of our lives, not only for today, but from this day forward, that we shall be a glorious people, praising and magnifying the Lord.
Praise the Lord. The Lord's been bringing to my mind an old song, "Trust and Obey." That's really what this has been about. And I'd just like you to join me in singing that. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. So trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So let us trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now then, when Brother Miller told me that he would like for me to come, in my spirit I saw every one of you on your knees. So I would like at this moment, some of you perhaps never get on your knees. Some of you perhaps go to churches, and I know that you do, where it's a nominal thing. It's just a casual thing you do on Sunday. You do not know the reality of these things that you've been told this morning. They're like foreign things on your ears. You think, oh my, can that be right? These people are just carried away. You better believe they're carried away by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. And I warn you and I exhort you, you are hearing truth from this place. Are you insane? Have you been insane? It is the devil's work. And it is because of your ignorance and the lack of teaching and training in the Lord. You will get it here. Your mind will be set free. Your body will be set free. This is truth. This is the way of life. It is purity and it is holiness that you must walk in. So shake yourself, stir yourself, get up and get on your face. Get on your knees right now. Hallelujah. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Lord God, forgive us, O God. We have all come short. Lord, we come short every day of our lives. Lord, we're steeped in ignorance and love of the world and the things in it. Lord God, forgive us of criticism. Forgive us, O God, of our shallowness, of our lukewarmness, of our ignorance, Lord God. Forgive us. Convict us, Lord. We cry out for we need deliverance, Lord. Oh God, set our spirits free that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth. My Lord, my God, convict us of dishonesty, of disloyalty to You and Your cause. Forgive us of forgetting You days without number. Oh God, forgive us. Lord, help us to repent. Help us to repent, oh God, for we need Your help. We need Your grace in this hour, Lord. Oh, God, move in every heart here. Just cry out to Him. You're face to face with Him. Cry out to Him from the need of your heart. Confess your sins to Him. Confess the hardness and the bitterness. Oh, Lemosuria. Lasuria Shandariate. Our God is a consuming fire. Come close to the fire, children. Oh, break us, Lord, break us. Break the hardness, Lord. Fall upon us, Lord. Lay hold upon us. Lord, some of us don't even know how to pray as we ought. God, break through upon us. By Thy mercy, by Thy grace, send the fire, O God, send the fire upon this waiting people, my God. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. O God, the weak ones that don't know, put Your arm around them. Put Your arm around them and establish them, Lord. The ones with the weakened knees and the arms that hang down, Lord, because they've been passive all of their lives. Oh, God, call them to a higher calling, Lord Jesus. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true. Purify us, Lord. Cleanse us where we sit. With thanksgiving, I'll be offer yourself to Him. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Blood is sufficient. Lord, we plead the power of your blood over this waiting people. Let it fall upon us like dew. Let the power fall from heaven, Lord. Let it fall as fire from above, O God. And Lord, begin a work that will grow and escalate with every meeting. Lord, let your power fall in might on every meeting in this place. Lord, multiply the anointing and the covering from one moment to the next, Lord. Draw every heart to your own, Lord God. Knit us together in love. Teach us that we are your body. Cause us to love each other in this place. Hallelujah. He's sufficient. Praise the Lord Jesus. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. We thank you for being in this place. Now we ask that, Lord, that you bless the food as we partake, Lord, of the food for our natural bodies. We pray, Lord, that you would shower us with your grace in the dining room, Lord, and on the cooks. Let our conversation be about you. Let the high praises of God be in our mouths and in our hearts as we go over these grounds this afternoon. And we thank you and praise you. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.